Fear. It is likely something that each of us deal with day to day in one way or another. God speaks to this. The phrase, do not be afraid, occurs 47 times in the New American Standard Bible, 69 times in the NIV, 63 times in the King James Version. Fear may not make a big impact on us. Perhaps it can easily be shaken by us at times, but it can raise its ugly head to an unimaginable degree to strangle the life out of us, out of believers. It can cause an individual to be clouded in their thinking, whereby making a basic decision seems almost impossible. It takes many forms, can come to us in various ways and different angles through the circumstances that we encounter. Have you ever experienced this dread and this power physically, emotionally, or spiritually on you? So, when did fear enter the world of humanity? When does it first show up? Great question. We've got an answer for that. God does. This is Adam and Eve in the garden. They had sinned. You remember that? God approaches them. They heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden, Genesis 3:8. In the cool of the day, and the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees there. Then the Lord God called to the man and said to him, "Where are you?" He said, "I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid myself." First time you find it in the scriptures. We fear because we're sinners. Sinners fall short of God's perfection and will, and we are not yet made perfect. As fallen sinful creatures, rightly compared to sheep, fear can be ours anytime and any place. Why is it worth noting? Why is it worth noting? Because it's common among every human being. The politically powerful and the politically weak both have fears. The powerful, that their power will fade or be taken away. The weak, that they might be taken advantage of, have no recourse to justice. Fear spares no one. As we look at the lives of the great saints of old, whose names and lives grace the pages of the Bible, we see Abraham, Moses, David, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Daniel. Incredible men who feared at times in their lives. So whatever one's status in the world, no one can escape dealing with it. It is something we must deal with. We fear what others will think or do. We fear what tomorrow will bring. Will we have food? Will we have shelter? Will we be able to pay our bills? Will the government remain functioning? Will my company fold? Will I lose my job? How will I do on my job? If I lose my employment, what will I do then? Will my friends remain friendly, or will they turn their backs on me? What about my health? Will I get cancer? What will the latest results of my test ordered by the doctor reveal? Will this particular ailment that I'm struggling with be mine forever? Will it take my life? Will I ever recover my health? And a myriad of other worries that are born out of fear. I'm not going to end the sermon here, by the way. There is good news. Is there hope? Is there help for us? Does God speak into our fears? And if so, what does he say? How do we combat it? And is there hope, or are we just left to wallow through this life, suffocating under its power while incapable of victory? There is good news. There's good news. There's great news. And it centers around the advent of the Lord Jesus Christ and his person. In the historical account of the advent of the Savior, as I was reading that through again some weeks ago, I've seen this many times, but it occurred to me in a different way. These words, do not be afraid. They're recorded four times. As I was reading through that account, I noticed this word from heaven to these individuals. That phrase is spoken to Zacharias. We just read that. It's spoken to Mary. It's spoken to Joseph. It's spoken to the shepherds. It's found once in Matthew, three times in Luke. I don't know your view of these individuals in this historical account, Mary, Joseph, Zacharias, or the shepherds. Perhaps you see them as spiritually elite. They're kind of on another plane. I think that they are a lot more near us in common, and we have much more in common with them than we may think. So When God gives them a word at this dynamic moment in history, what does he say to them and why? His word to Zacharias: do not be afraid, Zacharias. He's just encountered an angel. He is, I believe, shaken. Those words, do not be afraid. Why are they given? Because that was going to be his reaction. What was he afraid of? Was it simply that God surprised the aged man as he was offering incense? I think that's certainly part of it. I don't think it's all there is, though. I believe there's more. It mentions that your prayers have been heard. He and his wife Elizabeth are righteous people. They'd been praying that they could conceive. And God is going to do something in their marriage, something that will be of historical importance. Zacharias and Elizabeth, as far as we know, are godly people. They also were a couple that banged the door of heaven with their prayers, asking God to move. One of those requests was a child, and that request had never been granted. Now they're older in life, and it's probable that the window for Elizabeth for normal conception had passed. At her age, would she be able to carry the baby and care for the baby as was needed? The angel said it's going to happen. Perhaps that's what Zacharias was wondering. Whatever their fears, they didn't need to allow those fears to impact them. As a matter of fact, God's prophetic word toward this child was amazing. Notice verses 14 and 16. You will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth. Luke 1, verse 15. For he will be great in the sight of God, in the sight of the Lord. He will drink no wine or liquor, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit while yet in his mother's womb. And he will turn many of the sons of Israel back to the Lord, their God. That's an amazing prophetic word. And if you could encapsulate it in just a few thoughts, I think it would be this: Zach, don't fear. I got this thing. I've got it. And this has been my overarching sovereign plan for all eternity, for you and for your wife, Elizabeth. You need not fear. Maybe you're later in life, and you have more concerns than you can express. I believe God's word to us today would be the same. Don't fear. You don't need to fear. I've got this taken care of. The word to Mary, look at Luke 1:30. Now again, Gabriel's been doing his thing, surprising people, and he shows up there with Mary. In verse 28, he says, greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you. She was perplexed. Verse 30, the angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. Why would Mary fear? Well, she was encountering an angel in visible form. I think there are individuals here that have great courage this morning, but I believe this would shake any of us. This was, I believe, the first time she had ever encountered an angel in such a way. And why shouldn't she be afraid? Well, God's word came to her through the angel, and he said, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Not only that, but look at the promise that was given to her. You found favor with God. There is grace here. There's grace for what God is going to do. You'll conceive in your womb and bear a son. You will name him Jesus. He'll be great and called the Son of the Most High. And notice her faith and her embracing the role that God called her to. Look at down to verse 38. I have it up on the screen as well. Mary said, behold, the bondslave of the Lord, may it be done to me according to your word. And the angel departed from her. By the way, I believe that's the greatest place to be for all of us. God, you're good. You're sovereign. I don't control things that come into my life. And here you are, and listen, I'm willing. I'm willing. I'm just here to serve you. And, you know, for Mary, I think that's where she ends up. God's word to her is, Mary, I've got this. I'm going to do the impossible. I'm going to do it. I know this is shocking. I think it's maybe difficult to hear. Let me just stop and say that I believe Mary had her dreams about life. She was engaged to a wonderful man. These families were close. Betrothed in that day is basically a legal marriage. They haven't consummated that yet with sexual relations. But she has her dreams. She's a virgin. Now she's thinking about life and, I believe, children and a home and being a mom and being a wife and all those things. But in a moment, that changed. She was going to conceive a child in her womb without a man. This is not, I believe, what Mary was planning at all. How would she be looked upon in that society? What would Joseph, her family, and her parents think, and Joseph's parents? What would the talk on the street be about her? They would think she had engaged in sinful activity, for sure, outside of marriage. Not only this, but what about those plans for that wedding, for a coming family? This is a sudden 180 from what she had pictured life to be. And God's word to her is, Mary, don't fear. I have had this planned for you before I created you. I've inserted you into my sovereign plan of redemption for mankind. Mary, I've got this. Do not fear. Perhaps you're a young lady here today, young man. Circumstances of life have dramatically changed for you in the last while. I believe that God would say to you and to I, you need not fear. I've got it. I've got it covered. No need to fear. What about Joseph? If you turn back to the first chapter in Matthew, we read this. Matthew 1, 20 through 21. But when he had considered this, Joseph has heard now. He's understood that Mary is with child, and he knows something. He had nothing to do with that. Now, you and I know the story. We know the rest of it, and we understand how this happened. Joseph did not. And he's considering his path forward. What am I going to do? Obviously, what I was thinking about this woman is not true at all. And I believe he's thinking, how could I have missed this? How could my parents and my family have missed this about her? She's not who we thought she was. And God comes to him and says something to him. When he had considered this, that is divorce or breaking off the engagement. An angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child who has been conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. Why would Joseph have feared to take Mary as his wife? Well, I believe this is fairly obvious. She was pregnant. He had not had sexual relations with her. Her explanation in Joseph's mind would have been ludicrous. Who ever heard of such a thing? If she told him what happened with passion, it seemed she believed it herself, but he couldn't. How could he trust her? It seemed the only viable option was to secretly divorce her. He could have called for her to be stoned, but that wasn't the heart of this man. He wanted to divorce her quietly and get this done with, get it over with. When Joseph discovered that Mary was pregnant, I believe it crushed him. How could she have done this? How could this have happened? How could he and his family have been so wrong about their view of her? And then a word from God. God was responsible for her conception. He did it supernaturally. And he made that known to Joseph. The one in the womb is a savior, the long-awaited and promised Messiah. Wow. Just wow. Perhaps Joseph began to think of his responsibility as the head of this household to protect, to provide for the Savior of the world. Every fear that he had the word from heaven came to Joseph. And this came from God, and it is, do not be afraid. Joseph, this is my overarching sovereign plan for your life. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. I brought you to this. I will take you through it. You need not fear. Young men, perhaps your world has been shaken to a great degree lately with circumstances that are causing stifling fear, worry, and anxiety. God's word to you, I believe, is this. Do not fear. Do not fear. I've got a plan for your life. I will take you through it. I will be glorified. It's going to be okay. Back to Luke, the second chapter. The shepherds. Luke 2, 8 through 9. 8 through 11. In the same region, there were some shepherds staying out in the fields and keeping watch over their flock by night. An angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them. The glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terribly frightened. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all the people. For today, in the city of David, there's been born for you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." The word to the shepherds, do not be afraid. Why did the angels say this? Well, because they were afraid. That would have been the middle of the night, dark, and it speaks that the glory of the Lord shone around that place. It's daylight and midnight. That's what this is. The night sky lit up with the glory of the Lord as the angel of the Lord spoke with audible words to them. The glory of the Lord turned midnight into daylight, and his power is unleashed in that way, and they are greatly afraid. Why shouldn't they be afraid? Well, they need not fear because God was for them, and he said, don't be afraid. Not only that, but God had delivered on a promise that has spanned generation after generation. In his word is gold. He can be trusted, and now the time has come. This was a moment of good news, of great joy for everyone. And what was this good news? Here it is. God has provided a redeemer, a savior for sinners. The Messiah has come in the city of David that's been born for you in Bethlehem, a savior, Christ the Lord. Why is this so significant? Because the shepherds were sinners. The shepherds stood in need of a Savior because they're sinners who need to be saved, and the wages of sin is separation from God. Furthermore, this Savior was for each of them. The word from the angel is, he's for you. What good news. What great news. What amazing news for sinners. This is the good news of Christmas. There's been born for me. Has been born for you, a Savior. For you, for sinners, for the needy, for the downcast, for the social outcast, there is a Savior who wants to save. And the scripture is clear. Whoever will call on the name of the Lord will be saved. You may be here today, show up on the Sunday before Christmas and wonder what this is all about. This celebration is all about looking to God, understanding what he has done in the sending of his son for sinners, for you, for me, and our response is to acknowledge that, hey, I have a great need. I have nothing to offer to a holy God that would bring me to the point of being right with him. The only path for me is to trust in the finished work of Christ, and you will be saved. And you need to be saved. What's the penalty of sin? Separation from God forever. What an announcement to these shepherds. And they had a choice to make. What are you going to do with it? You've heard the good news. They could decide to place their faith in Christ. They could decide to reject that. The greatest impact of this night for the shepherds would occur if they embrace the Savior by faith. They're released of their sins and made a child of God. If you've never trusted Christ as Savior, I would urge you to do so now in the quietness of your heart before God, between you and him. I'm a sinner, God. I need to be saved. Save me, and he will. For these shepherds, no need to fear. No need to fear. I have a plan. God has a plan. I've got your attention. I've given you this good news. Go forward in faith. Search and find your Messiah, your Redeemer, the one whom I have sent. Now, every time in the above scriptures that God says, do not fear, he has a reason that fear didn't need to be the response. The advent of Jesus Christ brings great hope. Hope that eclipses any fears that we may face as we walk by faith with God. There's good news of great joy for all of us. The King of Kings has taken on human flesh, the God-man who stepped onto the earth through the womb of a virgin to fulfill a promise that cannot be eclipsed or changed. God, brothers and sisters, is for us. He is. He's interested in helping us and seeing us live in a world dominated by fear without having it dominate us. If God could pull this off, and he did, and Jesus rose from the dead, and he did, he can handle any fears that we encounter along the way and any situation that is ours. The advent of Jesus is full of wonder and awe. This is just one of those things. The awe of Jesus only increases as we see him high and lifted up. He bore our sin. He died. He rose again. And I remind you today, he is risen. There are a few words that Jesus spoke as I studied this. This is a sermon that I would like to go a couple hours on, but I cannot. And all God's people said, amen. But here's a few words from Jesus that I think are very worth our time. Matthew 14:27. Jesus walking on water. Immediately Jesus spoke to them saying, take courage, it is I, do not be afraid. Don't be afraid. You don't need to fear. Matthew 17:7, the Mount of Transfiguration. Peter, James, and John are there with Jesus, and he releases some of his glory on that mount. They saw it. And Jesus came to them and touched them and said, get up, do not be afraid. They were blown away by that. I love that he touched them, said, don't be afraid. You and I, brother and sister, need not fear anything. I would like to get there, but I would have to tell you, I am not. But I know what God says. We don't need to fear. Luke 8:49-50. This is with, I believe, Jairus. His daughter had died. While he was still speaking, someone came from the house of the synagogue official saying, your daughter has died. Do not trouble the teacher anymore. When Jesus heard this, he answered him, do not be afraid any longer, only believe, and she will be made well. And you know what Jesus went on to do? Bring her to life. Don't be afraid. You don't need to be afraid. It's one of my favorites. It's the Apostle Paul. He's in Corinth. He's been going from city to city proclaiming the gospel, and he's embraced, and then he's persecuted, at times left for dead. He's going from city to city, and I think this whole fear thing builds up with him. He's just won some more to Christ, and he's got some fear. The Lord said to Paul in the night by a vision, do not be afraid any longer, but go on speaking, and do not be silent, for I am with you. I'm with you, Paul. Every step of the way, I'm there. No man will attack you in order to harm you, for I have many people in this city. And he settled there 1 year and 6 months teaching the word of God among them. What a great ministry he had there. Paul, don't be afraid. You don't need to fear. I'm with you. I'm with you. We know. He said, lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. He's with each of us. Revelation 1:17-18. When I saw him, that's John, I fell at his feet like a dead man. And he placed his right hand on me, saying, do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. This is the resurrected Christ speaking. And the living one, I was dead, and behold, I'm alive forevermore, and I have the keys of death and Hades. We can trust him. You know, when fear comes to us, we need to recognize this isn't from God. 2 Timothy 1:7, for God has not given us a spirit of timidity, but of power and love and discipline. It's not from God. Fear is not from God. He says, take courage. Don't be afraid. Here's my final thought. I want to wrap this up in this statement. Fear fades as we trust in the sovereign plan of God. It's so amazing to me that God knows us intimately, and he has my life laid out. I'm just walking through his plan. And if he can save me, if he can bring me to birth, if he can save me, if he has brought me this far, will he not safely take me into the moment I step into glory? And the answer is yes. I'm just walking this path that God has laid before me. Fear fades as we trust in the sovereign plan of God. We can have joy when it seems the plans of our lives have changed, or when they, it seems, turned upside down or downside up. We can hear the words of our God, of our Lord, of our Master. Do not fear. Brother, sister, do not fear. God's got it. He's got it. He's got it. May you have an amazing Christmas celebration as you look to him by faith. Give him glory. He's good. Let's pray, and then I'm going to ask Eric and Kim Miller to come up. We'll welcome them as members. Loving Father, you have described us well as sheep, and one thing we know about sheep, there's a number of things. One is they're not very intelligent, but certainly they are fearful. I pray that our faith will be enhanced as we look to Christ, as we spend time in your word, hearing from you. We hear from a lot of things throughout our week, Father. I pray our focus will be on Christ, on the things in your word, and that we will grow in our faith. Father, I pray for our people. I don't know what you have for them in this next day, week, month, year, and beyond that, but I know you're there, and I know you have a plan, and I pray that we will rest in that plan with great faith, that you're sovereign, and whatever happens is really your overarching plan for our lives. Grow us in that, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.